The U.S. is a really nervous place right now about AI. By 3-1, you see people going, it's not being well managed. The funny thing is that there's high trust in tech and low trust in the innovations of tech. So the gap between tech at 75 and AI globally at 50 is 25 points, and it's bigger in the U.S. So I think implementation, adaptation, acceptance is just as important as invention. And we are not talking about enough of how we're going to do this well.
A new report points to a growing crisis of trust in innovation and the risk for technological change to fuel increased populism and polarization across societies. On this episode of the GeekWire podcast, we'll discuss what the 2024 Edelman Trust Barometer says about leaders' ability to oversee advances like AI and what business and technology leaders need to do in response. I'm GeekWire co-founder Todd Bishop, and my guest this week is none other than Richard Edelman, CEO of the Edelman Global Communications firm, on location here at the Edelman offices in Seattle. Richard, thanks very much for joining me.
It's great to be here. In fact, the reason that we have the Trust Barometer is the battle in Seattle from 25 years ago.
You stole my first question.
Well, what can I tell you? I mean, the reality is I saw the NGOs storming the meeting and I thought, who are these guys? And we found out that they were the most trusted institution in the world for 19 years, ahead of government, business, and media. And then in 2020, it was government. And then for the last 4 years, it's been business. And it's been business because it's the most competent. And increasingly, it's the most ethical, which is a kind of stunning finding, but an important context for our discussion.
We like to say here at GeekWire, what happens here in Seattle matters everywhere. And usually that's innovation. But in this case, it was the riots surrounding the World Trade Organization protests here in Seattle. So
yeah, but what's happened with business is the idea that business should be speaking up on sustainability, diversity and inclusion, geopolitics, and a whole range of other issues is to do with the idea that trust has become local. In my CEO, my company newsletter is more trusted than mainstream media or social media. And that's because people feel as if they have control of that relationship. They can work there or not work there. And that's a big change. Trust used to be conveyed top down from authority figures. Now we have dispersion of authority. And then in the next phase, it was conveyed horizontally, peer to peer. And now it's local. You know about this, that people are more trusting in local government than they are in federal government. They like their congressman, not the Congress. But this has now been applied within business. But the expectations, therefore, of business are much higher, of companies speaking up, because 3/4 of employees say, I'm only going to work for a company where the CEO stands up for me. And consumers increasingly are belief-driven. So they want brands to stand for certain aspects of their lives.
Why is trust so important, and why has it been such a big focus for you and for the firm over the years?
So trust is the central proposition in a well-functioning economy and society. And it's four parts: ability, dependability, integrity, and purpose. And we find that after 2008 and the Great Recession, the ability part is almost taken for granted. It's, you know, can you do it all the time? Do you have standards? And do you have a moral compass? And all those things have become the 75%, and the ability part is only 25, because it just isn't enough to be able to just do. It's, do you do it well? And do you do it consistently?
The 2024 Trust Barometer brings up a real dichotomy. Businesses are trusted, but at the same time, there's a disconnect when it comes to trust in innovation in a variety of forms, whether that's green technologies or AI. You call this the fourth log on the fire of polarization. The first three are the dispersion of authority, the mass class divide, and the infodemic. Can you walk us through those four and bring us up to date on the divide on innovation?
So the mass class divide used to be just in the UK, France, and the US, starting in 2015, and then you had Macron, and you had, you know, Brexit, and then you had Trump. So, but the mass class divide has now become something global. It's 17 points in Canada. It's massive now in Thailand or Saudi Arabia is 25 points. So that's a global phenomenon. The bottom quartile versus the top quartile believes in institutions, the bottom quartile doesn't, partly because of economic outcomes. On the matter of disinformation, people actually in the beginning went to their thought bubbles, you know, right or left, Fox or New York Times, whatever. But now it's more profound. We actually see we don't have any facts we can actually believe in. And COVID really hurt us in this regard. And when Dr. Fauci walks back the idea of the 6-foot distancing, that really hurts. And it leads to the next point about dispersion of authority. People have, you know, PTSD about this. And they're looking at AI and saying, we have to do this right. And when we talk about the idea of suspicion of innovation, innovation should be the greatest thing ever for business. And this should be a golden time for business because it's the most trusted. But if we rush this, if we put it out in a way where government isn't seen as being able to regulate because it can't keep up, or if it's seen as done without context where there's reskilling or upskilling to take care of people whose jobs are going to end, then we're going to have a populist reaction.
And for people who have not seen the Edelman Trust Barometer before, this is rigorous research, surveys, getting a sense for the sentiment of everyday people around the world. And the clear headline coming out of the 2024 report is that innovation has become a new risk factor for trust. How are you seeing that play out?
Well, we actually had the idea for this edition of the survey because in April we did a study on healthcare and we found that there were two completely different audiences. One who believes in top-down, believes in experts, believes in clinical trials, and that's me, as I've had 6 vaccines. And then there's a whole other group who are skeptical of government, don't believe experts, believe in their pastor or their pharmacist or their internist. And so in one case, you can do the air game, you know, top-down, and then the other is the ground game, where you have to knock on doors. It's like politics. And so then we decided to query 4 different groups, green energy, mRNA vaccines, AI, and then GMOs. And what we found is GMOs introduced 50 years ago today, Flavor Saver tomatoes in Berkeley, is rejected by 5-1. Mm. And Frankenfoods and all this stuff has completely become the idea. On the other hand, green energy shows great promise. And both mRNA and AI are on the, you know, like a seesaw. It could go either way. If well managed, it'll be fine. But if badly managed, people will reject it. And the U.S. is a really nervous place right now about AI. By 3-1, you see people going, it's not being well managed. And interesting, it's become politicized, which is bad. Republicans are 40 points less likely to accept innovations like EVs or fusion or things like this. Or mRNA, and that's too bad for society. It shouldn't be political. It should be, is it good for society?
Okay, so what should tech leaders do about this? That's coming up next.
Technology moves fast. I need to move faster. WGU's competency-based education puts me in control of how fast I move through my IT degree program. I can accelerate my program by applying what I already know to my courses and focusing on the things I need to learn. Earn a respected accredited degree that propels your career in the IT field. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
What should business leaders in particular, and those in the tech industry, I'm thinking of folks that are within blocks of us here at Amazon or Microsoft, how should they react or act upon the findings of this precarious trust in innovation?
The funny thing is that there's high trust in tech and low trust in the innovations of tech. So the gap between tech at 75 and AI globally at 50 is 25 points, and it's bigger in the U.S., especially among, you know, groups, whether it's lower income, Republicans like this. So I think implementation, adaptation, acceptance is just as important as invention. And we are not talking about enough of how we're going to do this well. Hmm. And the idea that it will only come in its time, when it's ready to come out of the oven as a good cake. And we need to be really clear with people of how the experiments are being conducted, and that, you know, if Google or others have setbacks, okay, it's part of a process that we can understand. It's not being done quietly and behind the scenes. Just, you know, it's not a clinical trial in pharma, for instance. That was one of the things people have in their back of their heads. Were people like me included in the trials? And did we really have a voice in any of this? People want to have agency in this.
And one of the issues with AI in particular is the lack of transparency into the data that are used to train the models. Issues like copyright come out of that, but also just issues of general provenance and the consequences that can have for the results that are given out. Are there certain things that these companies could do in particular related to AI to improve the level of trust in the general population?
I think we need to show a end stage. In my essay for Davos, I quoted Edmund Burke, who was talking about the French Revolution, where he said, you know, they tore down one system before creating another, and that's never a good idea. And even if it's a 10-year, 20-year kind of perspective on what AI can do for us in terms of better health, like we can have all the knowledge of Memorial Sloan Kettering and MD Anderson about cancer available to community hospitals. What an amazing opportunity to reduce cancer rates or improve treatment. We need to show also that, for instance, we're going to make absolutely certain that the election goes well on information quality. There are 50 elections this year around the world, and AI is going to have a major influence on this. And all the tech companies I know are very concerned about their technology being used well.
Are you seeing AI have a material impact on your own business in terms of how your employees are working, the types of clients you're working with? I'd be curious to hear how this is playing out from an Edelman perspective.
The most exciting thing is on behalf of one of the companies in Seattle, we're actually able to create something like 1,000 pieces of content a month, which enables us in a way to compete with advertising. You know, we can have enough ability to be frequent and targeted and custom. And so that's exciting for me. And we're also using it in writing, speech writing, press release writing. And yeah, it's a really interesting prospect.
So when you take a step back and look at the trust barometer for 2024, what would be your call to action, as it were, for companies, business leaders, technology leaders that are reading this report and looking for takeaways or things that they can do?
This is a massive opportunity for business to show that it's earned its position as the most trusted institution, because it should do this revolution with government as, you know, setting the boundaries, with NGOs on training in the last mile, with media to explain what they're doing and show that, in fact, this can be done well. Because, again, innovation is at the core of the proposition of business. But innovation done well is our time.
I was looking back at some of the past years of the Edelman Trust Barometer, and it comes down to communication largely, which I guess makes sense in some respects. In other words, when you were talking about the rise of business as a trusted entity, part of the idea there was that CEOs need to be communicating regularly with their key constituencies. And it seems like that would apply here as well as it relates to AI and innovation.
So it is partly the job of CEOs on communication, but I also think trust drives growth, but action earns trust. And the actions in this case are, we're going to take consideration of the job implications. We're going to make sure that privacy, by the way, that's the number one thing people are nervous about, is privacy and also change in my way of life. We have to reassure people and calm them down, and that AI is going to be a major partner in improving their lives.
So when you think back 24 years ago to the initial spark of this trust barometer, what are the key things that you've taken away? This has been a big focus for you and for the firm. I know this is something that you've personally been involved with over that time. What are the key things that you take away about the long view of society, and how might that extend forward from here?
I had no idea that we would be able to build such an important institution in the Trust Institute. And I think it's a thing that I'm proudest of in my time as CEO. And I feel that we are able to get clients to move because we have data that pushes them to speak up. And in the wake of George Floyd's murder, we showed by 7-1 Democrats, by 2-1 Republicans, they wanted companies to stand up and speak up on behalf of diversity and inclusion. As an example, when the instinct of business is to sit back and no, business has to fill the void left by government that's divided and seen as incompetent. So I also feel that we've been able to push business on considering the information flow, that their own newsletter is so vital in the information ecosystem. It was always downgraded, employee comps, BS. No, the employee has become the most important stakeholder for companies. It used to be the shareholder. It's the employee now. So that's a fundamental change in behavior. But we were the first to point this out. I want business to spend real time in planning its rollout strategy, and that it is as much about action as it is about communication, that it has to consider its poorer members of the community and actually maybe how the bottom quartile can rise by being empowered through AI, and that business also recognize pacing and doing it right, because to rush to conclusion is a mistake.
Richard Edelman, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me.
Richard Edelman is the CEO of Edelman, the global communications firm. See the show notes for links to the Edelman Trust Barometer and other related content. Coming up this weekend, a conversation with the founders of a new Seattle-based organization pushing for greater transparency in the training of artificial intelligence models. I'm GeekWire co-founder Todd Bishop. Thanks for listening to the GeekWire podcast.